Liverpool looked ominous at Anfield against Roma.
Headed towards the far post and in, and it's Roberto Firmino again. This is merciless stuff from Liverpool.
But how crucial could the two away goals be for the Italians?
Diego Perotti has the chance to get a second away goal. And he sent it into the roof of Karius' net. And it's Liverpool 5, Roma 2.
Meanwhile, in Germany, Bayern led against the run of play, only for the defending champions to come back with two goals of their own.
He has been played in. Asensio scores! As quickly as that, devastating counter-attack by Real Madrid.
You'll hear reaction from key players and head coaches, including Jurgen Klopp, Raja Nangalan, and Jordan Henderson. That's all to come right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rod Daly. Delighted to say I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott and commentator Adam Summerton. Gents, what a week in the UEFA Champions League.
Absolutely. Another famous European night at Anfield, wasn't it, for Liverpool? I was lucky enough to be there, sat next to a Liverpool fan of 50 years, and he said that is the best he's ever seen them play, which is astonishing. And I think, personally, maybe the best live performance I've seen individually from Mo Salah, who was quite literally unstoppable against his former club.
Real Madrid just getting the job done again, as Real Madrid always seem to know how to do. Had to come from behind, which, you know, showed good character and fortitude to be able to do that. Thought they got the balance of the game just right. But I think Bayern really underwhelmed. They'll be disappointed. Yes, they had chances in the game, but particularly in the second half, it was all pretty predictable down the left-hand side, with Ribery having lost Robin to injury. They were unlucky on the night in terms of injuries, but that's not the Bayern that we'd normally expect to see.
A reminder of the scores then from the semi-final first legs this week. On Tuesday, Liverpool 5, Roma 2. How could we forget? And on Wednesday, Bayern 1, Real Madrid 2. Time to look back now at last night's semi-final first leg action. Liverpool taking on Roma, a repeat, of course, of the 1984 European Cup final. Mike Sewell was across matters at Anfield.
Now Salah, just to the left, goes for the far post! What a goal! What a fantastic finish by Mohamed Salah! There is no end to this man's talent! There is no end to his goals! Firmino's got away from him. Salah's going again to the right. It's pushed through. Here's Mo Salah. Is it 2-0? Yes, it is! What a delightful finish by Mohamed Salah! The tally just keeps going up and up and up. Salah's onside here, and he's all on his own. Right edge of the area. Squares it in. 3-0 to Liverpool. This time it's Mane with the finish. But Salah's the provider. He can do any job you want. Salah. Right edge of the area, on his left foot, dribbles past Jesus, plays the ball in, it's 4-0 to Liverpool, it's that easy, and this time it's Firmino. All three of them have now scored. This tie is running away from Roma, headed towards the far post, and in, and it's Roberto Firmino again. Goal number two of the night for him. This is merciless stuff from Liverpool. Over the top, looking for Dzeko. Oh, Dzeko's in here. Dzeko to score, maybe. And he does so. It is an away goal back for Roma. Nainggolan shot hits Milner, and it's hit his arm, and it's a Roma penalty. And he sent it into the roof of Karius's net. And it's Liverpool 5, Roma 2.
And that's a terrific penalty from Perotti.
I would be much more happy, of course, if we would have won 5-0 or 5-1, but 5-2 is still a fantastic result. I could not even have imagined that that is possible. So the boys did outstandingly good, and we go there and try to win again.
We did it once against Barcelona. Why won't we try it against Liverpool? So today they had the crowd at their favour, so it will be difficult, but we can make the best of it and try it like we did once.
We heard from Jurgen Klopp and Roma midfielder Raja Nangalan there. This from the Telegraph newspaper in England. Salah left everyone lucky enough to witness this masterclass drooling, and they actually gave him 10 out of 10 for his performance. Chris, from your view in the main stand, you're one of the fortunate people who got to see that show in the flesh.
Yeah, you summed it up very well. It was one of those nights when you felt very, very lucky to be there, to watch someone in the form of his life. We've seen so often in recent years, over the last 10 years or so, Ronaldo and Messi do that type of performance. It felt that good from Mo Salah. Scored two, set up two. 43 goals for the season now, Rob. He's four behind Liverpool's record for a season, which was set in 83-84 when they finished that campaign by beating Roma in the final of this competition. Ian Rush set it. You wouldn't back against Mo Salah beating it. He's just astonishingly good so far. Roberto Firmino, a word for him as well, was outstanding. You know, Mo Salah's name was sung around Anfield last night. Pretty quickly after that was Roberto Firmino, because he was exemplary. And frankly, had Mane brought his shooting boots, Liverpool might have scored 6, 7, even 8. They were that good.
Salah and Firmino getting 9 out of 10 in the Liverpool Echo. Adam, I don't know what you have to do to get a 10 if you put Mo Salah after that kind of performance. But in all your years of watching Liverpool,
yeah.
And Chris mentioned the 50-year-old fan who said that that's as good as he's seen it.
Yeah.
What did you make to Tuesday night's performance?
Well, it's right up there in terms of the best football.
A European classic at Anfield, do you think? One that will stay with the fans, or will those late goals just take it away from some of the other ones?
The way it's viewed in history will depend a lot on what happens in the second leg.
Very true.
Because it was a first leg. But in terms of the quality of the football, I think that it's a different level to what we've seen. I think that Manchester City have, obviously because they're champions in England, they've been the best team this season. But in terms of who is playing the best football, in terms of how easy on the eye it is right now, I'd say that Liverpool are a level above even Manchester City. That's just my personal opinion. Other people might disagree. But I think the football that there was a great description. It was one of you two said it to me. It was like there was a period of about 20 minutes in the second half where Liverpool were treating Roma, a very good team, by the way, like almost like they were like a little terrier dog with something in its jaws that it just won't let go of, and it's twisting it and throwing it about in its mouth. And that's just what Liverpool were. They're absolutely insatiable. They just, you know, and football like that is just incredible to watch. The one thing I will say, if I may sort of give it a bit of balance, is that Liverpool have still got a lot to learn as a team in their development, and their game management is a key part of that, because that tie should be done now, and it isn't. And they gave away two goals that they shouldn't have given away, and they have to be more savvy, more clever. They have to be more like Real Madrid in those kind of positions.
Yeah, I think that will come under Jurgen Klopp. He was asked about it in the press conference, and he said we're not Barcelona, I think referencing how good Barcelona have been over the last 5-10 years. He said, we haven't won everything, so there will be slips. And credit to Edin Dzeko in particular. It was an excellent finish for Roma's first. But, you know, that 50 minutes of football will, for me, live very long in the memory, because the atmosphere was absolutely unbelievable at Anfield. And the way they played was just so full of confidence. Every single player absolutely on it. Which you rarely see, and it comes from Klopp, because at 0-0, Mane missed two chances, and how many other teams or even grounds would think, we're going to regret not taking those chances? But Klopp, immediately after he missed the second of them, turned around to the whole of Anfield and said, give me more. And that,
do you think that does something?
Yeah, absolutely.
At Anfield it does.
At Anfield it does. Yeah. The whole place erupts. It gives the players belief that, so what, we've missed a chance, another one will come along. And it just so happened to be Salah who curled one in off the bar from the edge of the box.
Look through that Liverpool team and look at all those players, and you will see that Klopp has improved every single one of them. Look at someone like James Milner. He's got the record amount of assists in a UEFA Champions League season. This is a guy, how old is he? What, 30 something?
32,
like?
I think, is he, James Milner?
And he's getting better. He's getting better. You know, Mo Salah, I watched him in Serie A last season very, very closely. Fine player. Thought that he would do much better in England second time round after what happened at Chelsea. Nobody thought these numbers were possible. And this is in part Klopp. Look at Robertson, the left back. Robertson signed for £8 million from Hull City. A good player. But he's Trent Alexander-Arnold. Look how much he's progressed in the last 6 months. I just think you have to give Klopp a lot of credit for what's happening at Liverpool right now.
Yeah, the one sour note was that injury to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. We saw him taken
another
off.
Another one?
Absolutely. Saw him taken off on a stretcher. He's going to miss the rest of the season. And the UEFA Champions League final, if they get there, the FIFA World Cup as well. And it's the one thing that if Liverpool get another injury in central midfield, they basically have three.
There is no one else.
No, they have three fit central midfielders for three positions now, because they're without Chan, they're without Lallana, they're without Oxlade-Chamberlain. So they will They'll be nursing those players through the rest of the campaign.
Let's hear from one of the central midfielders now. Jordan Henderson has been looking ahead to the return leg in Rome.
We've won the game and we'll go there with a 3-goal advantage, but it'll be difficult because you can see, as you've seen in the last round, they came back against Barcelona, who are one of the best teams in the world, and they managed to knock them out. So it'll be a really tough challenge for us, but we've got to be confident after the performance. We've got to go there and put a solid display on and hopefully get us to the final.
Jordan Henderson there, who was superb as well last night, especially against Raja Nangla, I felt for much of the game. The Italian press anyway, dissecting how Roma did here. In Gazzetta dello Sport, they said it was a mistake the way that Eusebio Di Francesco set up his team with the high defensive line. Corriere dello Sport says, come on Roma, you can still do it. That being their front page, referencing really what they did against Barcelona in the last round. But do you think this is a different prospect, even though the scoreline's more favourable than the Barcelona tie, actually, Adam? 5-2, two away goals compared to one. How different a prospect are Liverpool away from home than Barcelona were in the quarterfinals?
Well, I think Liverpool are playing better than Barcelona. So that's certainly one thing. And you know what? As much as it's obviously, it is a negative that Liverpool conceded those two goals, but in a way, it will focus minds. You know, and it will also focus minds what happened to Barcelona. So in that respect, it is a little bit different.
But do Liverpool have the mental strength to see that through? To focus the minds and get the result, because we've seen collapses.
Yeah,
we have seen collapses,
but have they developed past that, beyond that now? This is where this competition finds you out. I think we found out a bit about Bayern tonight. You know, the Bavarian press, the question they posed before this game was, you know, how good is this Bayern team under Heynckes? Well, I think we've found out tonight that maybe they're not quite at the level they want to be at. You know, how good are Liverpool? They should finish the job. They should do. And I'd be stunned if they didn't score at the Olympico. I would be really surprised. Roma have conceded, I think, 17 goals in this season's UEFA Champions League. And although their home record this season in this competition is good, their home record in Serie A is not great this season at all. I think, off the top of my head, I think they've lost six times at home. That's off the top of my head. It's something like that. So Liverpool should complete the job.
And they will play exactly the way they played at Anfield. I think Jurgen Klopp mentioned it in the press conference. He said, the one thing I've learned from tonight is that we can win the game in Rome, which is, you know, they won't alter.
They did win at City.
Yeah.
After that early goal, you know, against from Gabriel Jesus. That's the kind of moment that could have made Liverpool of even 6 months ago fall to pieces.
Van Dijk's made a difference in that respect.
Do you think that? I mean, a lot of people have said this about the Liverpool back line. I mean, it's one player in a back five, including the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he can't make... I don't think he was ever going to make the level of difference that people thought that he would. You know, one player can't change a whole defence. There's still deficiencies there. You only have to see what happened for Lovren's mistake for the goal last night. You know, Karius was very lucky where one, you know, went onto the crossbar. There are still deficiencies there, but it's undeniable that they look more organised. They look better. And I think the key reason for that is that Van Dijk's a talker. He's a talker, which they haven't had since Carragher. And now they've got someone in there who's talking all the time, pulling people about, leading. And that's making a difference for me.
Yeah, he doesn't stop talking and pointing and telling everywhere exactly where to be, including the goalkeeper, actually, for the whole 90 minutes, Van Dijk. And his mere presence there is a massive boost. And look, I just think Liverpool... Can we just come back to Salah for a moment?
Because yeah, please.
He is just... I think Steven Gerrard said that he's the best player on the planet right now, which, you know, is...
He is.
Yeah, well, it certainly...
He is. Right now, in this moment.
In this moment. He is just... unstoppable is the word. And he's... You know when... players who affect games with a goal or assist every single week, he is doing that. Sometimes both, frankly. And that's why I think it will be too tough for Roma, because Salah will create something, and I'm convinced that Liverpool will score maybe one, maybe even more than one in Rome.
Say he's the best player right now in the moment, because I think that's important to stress, because he will never be considered to the levels of Messi and Ronaldo until he's done this for 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons in a row. There's a big difference. You know, if you're looking on current form, what he's doing right now is mind-blowing. It's even above it's above what Messi, we just watched Ronaldo tonight. I mean, he never influenced it anywhere near as much as Salah did, but you only get greatness with consistency. You have to do it season after season. If he gets anywhere near these levels again, then yeah, he's right in the conversation, is up there with Messi and Ronaldo.
Okay, so the two teams play again next Wednesday, and they are both heavily involved in campaigns domestically to qualify for this competition again. Obviously, if they win it, they don't have to worry about that, but that's the harder way to do it, to win the UEFA Champions League this season. So Roma's situation, Adam. Mm. I mean, they're way off Napoli and Juve as the top two, but it's congested third, fourth, fifth in Italy right now. So how do you see them playing maybe at the weekend? I mean, will he take the gamble he took prior to this game and rotate once again? I think he made 5-6 changes for the win at Spal.
Yeah, I think who are they playing off the top? I'm not sure who they're playing.
That's escaped me. Let me get.
But look, 2 into 3 doesn't go. So one big club is really going to miss out on the on those UEFA Champions League places.
Chievo at home, Adam. So you have the Serie A. You can imagine.
Yeah, it's a very winnable game. And I think to answer your question now, that I know the opponent and I know where it's being played. Yeah, he will rotate, and I think you'll see someone like, you know, players like Gonalon coming in maybe. I think Karsdorp is fit yet.
But he's still injured for this game, and I imagine that
he'll play either Cengiz Under or Schick in the second leg, and the one he isn't going to play will probably play at the weekend. If from a Liverpool perspective, if I was in the youth team at Liverpool right now, I'd be charging around that pitch like this game I played in central midfield. Because get Jurgen Klopp's attention. I don't know how you have to do it, but he's going to need central midfielders, because you've hit the nail on the head. They get another injury in central midfield, they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
They really
the
are.
The only player I was thinking who could maybe... Trent Alexander-Arnold seems so intelligent and versatile. Maybe he could do a job if needed, but he's playing so well at right back at the moment. Game for Roma at the weekend in that very tight UEFA Champions League race to qualify. The head coach, Eusebio De Francesco, though, you know, still in firm discussions about the second leg of this tie. He says he wants the supporters to keep faith that they can make it to Kiev.
I must say that in Roma's history, this is the first time they've been in the semi-final of the UEFA Champions League since we made it to the final in the 1980s. This is a moment to believe, because it's not over, and that's something we've proved in the past. Those who don't believe should stay at home, and that also applies to the fans in the stands. I feel the most responsible here, but we've got to remember that we're still playing in a semi-final.
In semifinale, pro di Champions.
Adam Lallana, of course, out for Liverpool as well at the moment with a hamstring injury. Jurgen Klopp says it's not as bad as first thought when they first had the injury a week ago. It'd be a big ask for him to slot into the intensity that Liverpool are playing at the moment. Okay, Chris, so do you want to give us a percentage chance of...
Well, no.
What did you give... remind us, what did you give Roma? So when Roma played Barcelona... You gave him a minus percentage chance, which doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I said minus 5%, which, as you said, is mathematically incorrect.
Do you think they can turn it? I think Di Francesco was so positive ahead of that second leg against Barcelona that he convinced his players that it was doable.
I think so. It was interesting seeing his demeanour. The second question, by the way, in the press conference was Camp Nou, which is amazing, really, after the first leg. Immediately, obviously, that is the thing that they will cling hold to. I think it would have to be, it'll be a better achievement to come back against Liverpool the way they are playing than it was against Barcelona, even with the great Lionel Messi. I just think, you know, they'll have to have the perfect game again, and it's not over, and those two goals have made it interesting, because it was a bizarre leaving Anfield, despite the fact that Liverpool had a 3-goal first leg lead. It didn't feel like that, and because it's so quick back to back, I think that momentum stays a bit more than if there was a 2-3 week break and everyone can sit down and think, we're 3 goals ahead, we're fine. I think it will have an impact, but I think Liverpool will go through, and you know, if they don't, we'll be talking about one of the greatest nights ever in this competition.
Two factors to consider here as well, one from either side. Look at the way Liverpool net didn't crumble when City scored early against them in the second leg. Now, we talk about vulnerability. Can they capitulate in pressure? Well, they didn't there. So I think Liverpool fans will take a positive there. Don't underestimate, from a Roma perspective, just how much it means to play Liverpool. They still, the older supporters, really hold it against Liverpool massively that they beat them in that home final in 84. that is, believe it or not, I think still a factor here, because that they will be so fired up.
Gary Gillespie, we had Gary Gillespie on the show yesterday, who was on the bench for that final, and he talked at length about that. It was brilliant, and I think you're absolutely right. They want their revenge. Okay, next on the show, analysis and reaction from Wednesday night's semi-final first leg between Bayern and Real Madrid.
Everyone can enjoy football, no matter who you are, where you're from, or how you play. Equal Game is a new UEFA Respect social responsibility campaign that positively promotes inclusion, diversity and accessibility in football throughout Europe.
You're listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast with Chris Parrott, Adam Summerton and me, Rob Daly. On to Wednesday's action now, where Bayern played host to the reigning champions, Real Madrid. Adam Summerton describes the action.
Now they're on the attack here, and it's three against four as the ball goes in. Oh, what a goal that is from nothing. It's Joshua Kimmich, would you believe? Well, what a surprise goal that is against the run of play. And it's Joshua Kimmich, of all people, such an unlikely goal scorer for Bayern. But they lead here by a goal to nil. By one, Real Madrid nil. Where did that come from? Cross it comes to the right-hand edge of the area, and Carvajal, he heads across the box, breaks for Marcelo, what a shot! Equalising goal! Marcelo hit it first time, left-footed from the edge of the area, arrowed it into that bottom corner, all right, barely moved, Madrid on terms, Bayern 1, Real Madrid 1. Rafinha, who's given a pass away here, and it's two against two. What a mistake here in Asensio. He could be played in by Lucas Vazquez. He has been played in. Asensio scores! As quickly as that, devastating counter-attack by Real Madrid. Bayern made all their own problems, but Asensio has had a telling impact from the bench. It's Bayern 1, Real Madrid 2.
And that is how it would finish. What a result for Real Madrid, and another commanding away performance in the knockout stages for Zinedine Zidane and his team, Chris.
And he can do absolutely no wrong, whether it's the substitutions or the tactical selections. Just phenomenal. And you know, this was a Real Madrid team who set up to frustrate, and they did that incredibly well. A team who, for the second season running in Munich, fell behind and came back to win. They never seemed to panic. You know, the older players, you'd expect it from Ronaldo and Ramos when the going gets tough. But the younger players, Asensio comes on, scores a goal. You know, Vazquez ends up playing right back due to injury to Carvajal. Everybody is just dialed in to Real Madrid on the UEFA Champions League night. And they were excellent. Bayern weren't helped by some injuries. I think they lost Arjen Robben in the first half and Jerome Boateng. And as an attacking force, they just didn't seem to have that X factor in the final third, which you so rarely think of from Bayern's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, you were commentating on the game, and they have the players to produce a moment of quality, a ball in behind like James has done in the Bundesliga this season, or a goal from an improbable position that Thomas Müller might score. But it did seem, aside from Franck Ribéry, who's drawn praise from Zidane tonight, flat.
Yeah,
and short of ideas.
Yeah, I think that is a good word to describe it. But you know, losing Robin so early to that injury, that did hamper them, and they became too predictable. Now, I can't remember many times where we've sat here discussing Bayern and said that, use that word, but that's what they were tonight. You knew that it was going to go down the left. I mean, you were even sometimes thinking, when Ribery's cutting inside, you're thinking, well, just do something slightly different and use Rafinha on the overlap rather than cutting inside every time. I think, in fairness to Ribery, he just saw what was happening and wanted to take it upon himself to try and get them back in the tie. He saw himself as the best route to doing that. So I understand why he did that. But even someone like Lewandowski, he had a great chance, remember? He got in behind and he completely, you know, so uncharacteristically for him, rather fluffed his line. So they just seem to lack something, an edge to them tonight, Bayern.
For a team that scored 69 goals in 20 games before they ran into Real Madrid in 2018. You know, it's a phenomenal record. But once Real Madrid went 2-1 up, you really never saw a route back into the game. But I think from Bayern's point of view, a big moment, Ribéry, who was their best player, great chance when they were 1-0 up, looked like he was through on goal, miscontrolled it. And had they gone 2-0 up, all of a sudden, you know, they're in complete control. But they didn't take their chance, and Real Madrid were absolutely clinical. You know, Ronaldo barely had a sniff of a goal, but it didn't matter because, you know, Marcelo came up again with a goal in the knockout stages in the first leg for the third round in a row. Remarkable achievement. And then Asensio finished after a mistake by Rafinha, but that mistake was punished, and Real Madrid were so clinical in the final third.
One of the words that Thomas Muller has used to describe his side's performance after this was naive, which I think is really interesting. You know, talked about.
It's not a word you'd associate with those Bayern players
and
at that's, all.
And it's very honest, and it's why it really shines out to me that, you know, that he's used that word naive. But I can see, you know, why he has said that. There's plenty of other reaction as well, Rob. If you can give me a chance to just go through it here. Joshua Kimmich, who got the opening, said it was a shame that Robin came off so early. He's someone who draws players to him, and that creates space for me. Not to say that Thomas didn't do a good job. He creates gaps with his movement. But that kind of does allude to what we were talking about with Muller. Toni Kroos, of course, former Bayern player. Ronaldo worked hard for us up front. We knew that Bayern would press high up. We want to win the competition again, and that would be unbelievable. I have a good relationship with Jupp Heynckes, and we're still in good contact. I wish him all the best. Well, obviously not as far as the UEFA Champions League is concerned. Just looking here at Zinedine Zidane, who's been talking to the microphones as well. He says, we're very satisfied with the result, but we had a lot of problems in the first few minutes trying to take control of the game. The tie is far from over. It's more than possible that Bayern could win in the Bernabeu, but we are very happy that we have won 2-1 in Munich. Final word here, Sergio Ramos, the captain for Real Madrid. People expect us to come here and win 3-0, but this is a great Bayern side. We need to have a lot of respect because the tie is not over yet.
I don't think anyone was quite expecting that, Sergio. That would have been an incredible result. 2-1 isn't bad either. And for Bayern, Adam, I mean, you look at the quotes. You mentioned Thomas Müller there. Prior to the game, he was talking at length about the history of the football club. I thought this was really interesting. So he was saying, in the 118-year history of this club, only one man's won the treble, and that's Jupp Heynckes. It would be incredible if the same man could do it again. Yeah. Thomas Müller, Mr. Bayern, very aware of the club's history. And then going on to explain how this is the trophy that defines how this team is judged. Because at the moment, things are so comfortable in the Bundesliga for them, 22 points clear. They're in the cup final again domestically. This is the one which indicates to the world where they are.
Jupp Heynckes is obviously really interesting. You know, he's lost the UEFA Champions League game for the first time in 5 years?
5 years, yeah.
That was. But if we take Jupp Heynckes out of this for a moment, how scarred is this group of players from what happened during the time Pep Guardiola was at the club, when they became nearly men in this competition? You know, how much of an effect is that? Because a lot of the players were there, yes, when Heynckes won it, the treble. But how much is that? You know, how much do they maybe subconsciously feel that this is a glass ceiling for them now, where they are right now? Because we keep going back to it, and all three of us have said it, that there did seem to be a lack of belief and conviction. Now, you could put that down to the fact that they're missing important players, because they are. Vidal makes a difference, doesn't he? Robin makes a difference. You know, Koeman could make a difference. There are others we could mention as well. But I'm just not quite sure how to assess where Bayern are, because we're taking the injuries into equation. But I do think that going so far and falling this hurdle so many times before, I wonder how much of a toll that's taken.
I mean, if you look at last season, that was certainly a massive blow to Bayern. Remember, against Real Madrid in the quarterfinals, they lost the first leg 2-1. They were then brilliant in the Bernabeu and won the game 2-1. So it went to extra time, then conceded three goals and went out in pretty heartbreaking fashion. You mentioned players they're missing. They have to throw in Manuel Neuer. Not that Sven Ulreich could have done anything about the goals, but still, Neuer's a huge, huge player. We'll have to wait and see, I think, in terms of reserving judgment on Bayern. Next week, to me, is a very big game for the club, though. There'll be a lot of soul-searching if it finishes in a similar vein to tonight, I think, about exactly where they are on the European stage.
So we need to see that Juve, yes, second leg belief and level of performance to an extent.
Exactly.
I don't think that the media, and I presume some of the supporters as well, I don't think they're convinced that Bayern are at the levels that they have been in the past. That's when I'm doing my reading ahead of this game, and I'm looking at quotes, and I'm seeing what people are saying in the German media. You're looking at the headlines in the papers. I just don't think that they're convinced by this side, not at this level. Yes, in the Bundesliga, but the jump up is big. You know, to go from playing, with all due respect to someone like Leipzig or a team who are making fantastic progress, but if them and Dortmund and Schalke are your nearest challengers, it's a big leap from them to Real Madrid and to Juventus and this current Liverpool side. I'm not sure it prepares them well enough. And that is another debate in Germany that will go on and on. You know, does the standard do they need teams to catch up with them? But it's a difficult situation, isn't it? Because they want to keep winning in the Bundesliga, but then that doesn't help them in terms of this competition.
Yeah, I think the best thing you can say from Bayern's point of view is they aren't out of the tie. And they could have been. There were a couple of opportunities. Ronaldo had a goal correctly disallowed for handball. There was a counter-attack right at the end when it was 3-on-1 and Benzema chose to pass to Ronaldo when he was offside and he could have played through Asensio. Because if Real Madrid do score a third, which they could have done, then I think it's very, very improbable that Bayern can come back. But they still have an opportunity in the Bernabeu. All the pressure will be on Real Madrid. I can't wait to see Zidane's 11. Who knows who he's going to pick? But they're not out of it, Bayern. And they have nothing. They do have, we've just discussed it, they have lots to lose if they go out in the semi-final. But in terms of the game, I think they can go there now and attack it as major underdogs.
Jupp Heynckes has been talking now, Adam.
He said that he felt that they created a series of really good chances and just didn't take them. Says, we are not giving up. There are still 90 minutes to go. He's saying what he's got to say, really, hasn't he? I think he does have a point, particularly that Lewandowski opportunity was a fine chance and one that you would expect him to take. But he wasn't at it tonight, was he? Lewandowski. Not often you say that, is it?
No, and they signed Sandro Wagner in January to rest him a lot in the Bundesliga to have him fresh, because it was the case where we were getting to the late stages of this competition and he was looking a bit tired and not quite sharp, and he couldn't really get into the game tonight.
No, he couldn't, and Adam alluded to it in the commentary, but look, they lost. He had to make two substitutions in the first half, which really, you know, meant it was very difficult for him to change something when it got to the 60-minute mark. And we don't know yet, but certainly the way that Boateng hobbled off, and probably Robin, given that the second leg is rapidly approaching.
Yeah, who knows if they'll be fit?
Who knows? Yeah. You have to say that they are big doubts, and there'll be two players that, you know, Jupp Heynckes will be desperate to have available.
As things stand, it will be a Real Madrid-Liverpool final, one we have seen before in this competition. A long way to go, but let's get some Man of the Matches from the week then. Adam, you start with Wednesday. Chris, you'll do Tuesday. Who was the outstanding performer in Munich, Adam? We're running out of time, so you need to...
I thought Ramos had a good game in defence, marshalled it well. Oh, God, it's a difficult one.
You can give it to Ramos.
Yeah, let's give it to Ramos.
All right, Chris, at Anfield, I think you've got an easier one.
Yeah, I think might be a little... the outstanding player, I believe, the same as Adam, on the planet at the moment. Mo Salah, just incredible.
And we think Liverpool-Real Madrid final? Adam, yes or no?
I think you've got to say that right now, haven't you? But this competition puts egg on your face quite a lot.
It certainly does. I know that more than anyone. Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. The first legs of this season's semi-finals were contrasting affairs. On Tuesday, Liverpool produced a European masterclass at Anfield. But two late Roma goals means the Italian side still have a chance. They couldn't do it again, could they? While in Munich, it was a much tighter fixture, as both Bayern and Real Madrid will feel they are in contention. But it's the defending champions who will be the favourites after a 2-1 win on the night with two crucial away goals. Make sure you join us on Match Day Live on the 1st and 2nd of May, where the UEFA Champions League finalists will be decided. But until then, from Chris Parrott, Adam Summerton, and me, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
What a delightful finish by Mohamed Salah. The tally just keeps going up and up and up.
What a goal that is, from nothing. It's Joshua Kimmich, would you believe?
And even the Roma fans are applauding Liverpool. It's 5-0.
What a shot! Equalising goal! Marcelo hit it first time, left-footed from the edge of the area.
And he sent it into the roof of Karius's net. And it's Liverpool 5, Roma 2.
Bayern made all their own problems, but Asensio has had a telling impact from the bench. It's Bayern 1, Real Madrid 2.
There is no end to this man's talent. There is no end to his goals. It's goal number 42 of the season, and it is as good as it gets for Mo Salah.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.